This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Aaron Schatz of FTN Fantasy will join us. We will go over all of the wildcard weekend matchups, awards, get his thoughts on everything. And this will be pretty much all NFL. Usually would do a reaction to Penn State Notre Dame, just a little scheduling issue made it hard for that to occur and get that reaction in time. Wanted to get the pot up. So we'll do all the college on the Monday show, just recap the two games, look forward to a national title game along with the NFL recaps. As I mentioned the other day, I do like Ohio State in this Friday game. I think it's just, I know there's maybe not some line value, the line at 5.5, 6, and a couple weeks ago it'd be 1 or 2, but hey, it's not a couple weeks ago. Ohio State has looked like a dominant team here. One of these, you know, 2019 LSU, one of these Bama teams, they look like the real deal. So it's always dangerous overreacting to recency bias in the last couple of performances, but man, those last couple of performances are really, really hard to overlook. So I think Ohio State wins, they have 37-24, 38-24, something like that. I like their team total over too. I think they roll, but let's get to the NFL before we get to Aaron. I love wild card weekend. It's I don't know that we need the game Monday. They did it the first year we had the 6 games for wild card weekend when they expanded the playoffs. 3 Saturday, 3 Sunday. I kind of like that better. Nevertheless, it's just great. So many games, the excitement of the playoffs starting, all the possibilities, the seeding. It's just it's great, and you got to enjoy it because after this, it's 4 games next week, then 2, then 1, and this football season is quietly dwindling down. But hey, we're not kicking dirt on it yet. We still have a great playoff ahead of us, I would think. And this did cross my mind before I get to the games and just a thought or two on each game. With so many favorites winning and covering, it's been such a chalk year. I kind of wonder if we're just, do's the wrong word, but wouldn't it be ironic if we get like a bunch of upsets in a crazy playoff bracket where, you know, teams coming out of nowhere and a lot of unexpected results. It's just something that crossed my mind. But well, let's get into the games. Chargers laying 3 against the Texans. I understand, similar to Ohio State, Texas, there's some recency bias here because let's just round up. Let's say home field is worth 2 points. At no point this season were the Chargers 5 points better than the Texans. I get that. But look, Harbaugh and Herbert, I know it's a simple way of looking at it, is just much better than anything Houston has. I just can't get that Christmas Day game out of my head. Again, recency bias, yes, but Houston's missing guys on offense. Maybe it's a little inflated. It probably is, but I am going to take the Chargers here. I think they win. I think they move on. And if they are playing the Chiefs, I think they're live. They play the Chiefs tough. A good coach, a good quarterback. They're not scared of Kansas City. They're familiar with them, but that's a story for another day. The second game on Saturday, Ravens Steelers. I've gone back, not gone back and forth. Who wants to bet the Steelers here? But it is inflated with the Ravens, where they played 3 weeks ago, a couple days before Christmas, the week before Christmas, that Saturday, early evening, late afternoon. And the line was 6.5. And they won by 17, but Steelers were missing a lot of guys on defense. Ravens had their best receiver, Zay Flowers. And Wilson Wilson was going in for a touchdown, fumbled, and that turned that game. So I'm like not dying to bet the Steelers here. I just think the 9.5, I think there's some tens out there, a touch inflated again. I don't love Pittsburgh. This is one of the two games I have the least feel for, but it would be the ever so slightest lean to Pittsburgh and the points here. I do think Baltimore would move on. I'd be very surprised. And boy, there is a ton of pressure on Lamar. If Lamar ever lost this game and had another, you know, whatever, 18 of 38 and 198 yards and turn the ball over and they scored 13 points, boy, he would have a rough offseason. But I don't think that will be the case. Bills laying 8.5 to the Broncos. Perfect teaser range. I'd be shocked if the Bills lost this game after I get done saying, hey, watch for some upsets. Rookie quarterback on the road, hostile environment. The key for Denver, don't let the game get away from you early. Don't let this be 7-0, 10-0, you know, 5-6 minutes into the game. Stabilize the game. Try to make it a fourth quarter game where, hey, it's a one possession game in the fourth and you steal it that way. It's possible. It's not like, you know, Buffalo's unbeatable or anything, but I do think the Bills jump out ahead, establish a lead, and win this game going away. Packers, Eagles, Sunday, mid-afternoon here. Eagles laying 4.5. There's a huge discrepancy in the schedule. Green Bay played a really tough schedule. And remember, these NFC North teams are just, man, the NFC North was much better than these other divisions. Keep that in mind. Eagles played a soft schedule. But the Packers have looked really bad here down the stretch. Now, the other side of that is Hurts coming off the concussion. He's cleared, but is he going to be rusty? Is he ready to go? It would be a lean towards Green Bay taking the 4.5 again. This is one of the one or two games I don't have much conviction on, but I would take Green Bay plus the 4.5. Commanders, Bucks laying 3 on a Sunday night. Ah, something to keep in mind too. The Bucks game, the Bucks and the Packers both take the ball first. So first quarter, generally, for the most part, lately, they've taken the ball first. So I would say like 80, 90%, those teams are going to start with the ball because the other teams defer and decide to kick off. So Packers to score first, Packers first quarter, Bucks to score first, Bucks first quarter. Those are all good bets. Get the first down, get the first touchdown, punt first. There's so many different ways to attack it, but keep that in mind with these props. I think by the time the games kick off, that will be baked into the number and word will get out, but I'm not sure it's properly baked in right now. Bucks like -140 to score first. So that I'm not sure is baked in. I like Washington +3. I think these teams are pretty even. You could poke holes certainly in both teams. Washington's had some fluky wins, the Hail Mary, the Panics game a couple weeks ago against Atlanta on Sunday night, the Rattler game, which wasn't impressive. But Tampa lost to Dallas a couple nights before Christmas on the road, which wasn't impressive. They didn't play well against New Orleans. So to me, toss-up game. I think Daniels is a tremendous player. I could easily see this being a field goal game. There are some 3.5s pop-up, so obviously all the difference in the world to get the 3.5 as opposed to the 3, but I do like Washington, but keep in mind, Tampa does get the ball first and make those bets accordingly. And the last one, and this is going to be played now in Arizona, and check your books. You might have refunds. The bets might stand because it's a different location. It's essentially a different game. Again, books vary house to house in terms of how they word it. Hey, if the time moves, you're good, but if the location moves, so it's not one uniform rule, but it did change the line. Minnesota versus the Rams, Vikings, Rams here. It was trending towards a pick 'em, and it's bumped up to 2.5 because it's not a home game for the Rams anymore. So a subtle little break here for the Vikings. Now the Rams didn't have a great home field advantage to begin with, but it's something. It's something. And plus you add in the intangible element of, hey, how much disruption is there with the Rams and their preparation living in LA? That's just, there's a real life aspect of it too, which you have to factor in here. So, but that being said, now I like the Rams going in. I still like the Rams. I just think Darnold was so bad last week. I'd worry about that carrying over. The kicker's been terrible. I just hate the swing of, hey, we got a chance to be the one seed, a bye, 2 home games, and boom, we're in the Super Bowl. Now we got to go the long way, play a wild card weekend, win all these games on the road. Or I guess this is neutral now, but yeah, you get the idea. I wouldn't be shocked if Minnesota won, but I do think it's going to be hard for Minnesota to bounce back. Now, the other side of that is, seems like everybody's off of Minnesota last week, and it seemed like everyone was on Minnesota last week, and sort of the other way around a couple weeks ago against the Packers. So you do get that sense that everyone was on Detroit last week. They got burned, so now they're getting off of them. I do sense that, but there are reasons to like the Rams here. And remember, the Rams beat them middle of October. Stafford threw 9 touchdowns, nine incompletions, 4 touchdowns. So he really did a good job against this Flores defense, which makes sense. He's a veteran quarterback. So much of Flores defense is, you know, identifying where the pressures come from, identify the disguise, and Stafford had been around as long as he has. McVay, who's a really good coach, they're able to dissect some of that, detect some of that. So fun game, 6 good games. We'll hope for some good games here. I think we'll get good games. Nothing beats the NFL playoffs. Excited to watch it and excited to talk about it with Aaron Schatz. That is next. This Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast and excited to talk some NFL playoffs. You can catch him FTN Fantasy, the underrated Schatz and Tanier podcast, which is highly recommended. I'm a regular listener, so I encourage everyone to check that out. It's the great Aaron Schatz, the creator of DVOA. Aaron, what's up, man? Regular season is over. Time for some playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. God, 13 games left. It's always crazy when the regular season ends and you realize there are fewer games left than there are in a regular week.
Yep. And I was mentioning the other day, it hit me when Scott Hansen was watching the Red Zone at the end of the 4 o'clock window Sunday. And Scott Hansen said, "That'll do it. We'll see you in September." Said, wow. Because it feels like we have a lot of football left with the playoffs, but the regular season, which is its own animal, is done with, and September's a long way away.
Yeah, so let's enjoy these 13 games while we got them, because after that, it's the UFL.
Yeah, absolutely. And draft, and I think we'll have a good playoff. Let's just get into it. Chargers, Texans. Let's go through some of these games and just get your thought on each one. Just an initial thought. Chargers laying 2.5, 3. I get the case for the Texans here with the point spread just because, hey, let's call home field worth 2, and some books have this at 3. The Chargers probably are not 5 points better than the Texans. That being said, I think the quarterback coach combo of Herbert and Harbaugh is just better than what the Houston Texans have. I can't get that Christmas game out of my mind, which was so bad for Houston. But what are your takes? What's your thought here on this game?
Yeah, the Chargers finished the year 9th in my DVOA ratings, and Houston was 16th and getting worse at the end of the year. I mean, that offense has just been terrible this year. The offensive line, Stroud, without the protection, has declined. There's no Tank Dell anymore. Like, it's the Chargers are definitely the better team. So, I mean, you know, anything can happen and upsets happen, but I think the Chargers are rightfully favored on the road.
Another rightful favorite. Ravens are up to minus 10 against the Steelers. Usually we look at this and we say, hey, it's a 2017 game, 23-20. Baltimore broke that trend last time. They pulled away. Probably should have won the first game in Pittsburgh. Tucker missed a couple kicks. And it does seem like the Steeler magic, the Steeler voodoo has worn out a little bit. I'm not dying to – I think the line's inflated here, but I'm not dying to get the 10 here with Pittsburgh. Do you have an opinion on this game?
So folks who follow me know my numbers love the Ravens, right? Last year's Ravens were one of the best teams I had ever measured, and this year's Ravens are right behind them. And so it feels like this is just should be a stomping. And yet, we know that the Ravens get in their own way, whether it's the special teams problems this year or the penalty issues. And it's just really hard. It's really hard to do a minus 10 in a playoff game. Like, that's just really tough. I think I would actually take the Steelers, even though my numbers would say to take the Ravens minus 10. Like, I don't think the Steelers are going to win this game, but I can see it being a slog for the Ravens, more of a slog than you think it's going to be.
You'll have to go back because I remember I know divisional weekend is where we get some blowouts where the team that sneaks through wildcard weekend, everyone falls in love with them and they just don't belong. Now, some of that is years ago when you had, you know, the Packers and the Cowboys and the Niners were just so dominant and there was more of a chasm between the haves and the have nots. But I remember Houston last year wins a playoff game. They go in, they get stomped. Like, it does happen. I'm trying to think if it happens in wildcard weekend as much. So blowouts are not foreign to the playoffs. But like you said, this is just a lot of points.
It's a lot of, like, 10, like, if you think of all the close games these teams have played, even in recent years, that's a lot of points.
Bills laying 8.5 to the Broncos. This is one where I do like the Bills. I just think rookie quarterback on the road, Bills are probably going to score their, you know, 27, 30-ish points. Denver, can they keep up if they get behind? 7 seeds haven't done well. I know Green Bay won last year, but this feels to me like one that can get away from Denver. Do you have an opinion here?
Yeah, I actually kind of like Denver to cover a little bit on 8.5. I don't think I would if it was any less than that, but it's supposed to be cold and a little snowy, which might keep the score a little closer. I kind of like the under. It's a 47.5, and so with the cold and a little bit of snow, you might want to go under more than you might want to play the spread. But I mean, Buffalo is the better team. Like, if you are a believer that you don't take an underdog unless you think that underdog can win outright, don't take Denver.
Yep, I could certainly, I could see that line of thinking. So the first three games are AFC games. Then we switch over to the NFC Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock, Sunday, 4:30 Eastern. It is Philly right now laying 4.5 to Green Bay. I think this is the game I'm most excited to watch. Do you have a strong take on this one? Boy, this would be a disappointing end for Green Bay with all of the hype, the expectations. I know you have them high in your rankings.
They are third.
Yeah.
Third for the season. Yeah.
So if they got swept by Minnesota, swept by Detroit, and then, you know, lost another game and got swept by Philly, 0-6 against those teams, 1-5 in the division. Not that you're, you know, getting rid of Love or getting rid of LaFleur, but boy, that would feel like an empty season. That being said, where are you at with this game?
I mean, the thing is they're third, but if you take the week 18 game out of Philadelphia, Philadelphia is higher, right? Philadelphia is the highest team in the NFC in the weighted ratings that give more weight to recent games. If you take out if you take out like the offense of the last 3 weeks, basically, right? Without Jalen Hurts. So we all assume Hurts is going to be healthy. If Hurts is not healthy, go Packers, definitely. But if Hurts is healthy, I kind of like the Packers plus 4.5. I think the Eagles are rightly favored. I think maybe it should be more like 3. The Packers are closer to the Eagles than you want to believe, but these, given the Detroit defense, I know this is weird to say after what happened Sunday night, but given the Detroit defensive injuries, these might be the two best NFC teams right now. And one of them has to lose.
Yep, it's well said. This is a game where I like this next one. I do like Washington. I just think,
I like Washington too.
yeah, Tampa doesn't have much of a home field. There's not that much that separates these teams. Now, in terms of the spread, there's some 3, there's some 3.5. Obviously, there's a big difference. You want to be able to win on 3 if it lands on 3. And hey, if you're down 10, you can get the backdoor touchdown. But that being said, wouldn't be surprised if Washington won. These teams played week one. Tampa won big. I don't take much from that. But sounds like you agree with me here.
If you believe that you should not take an underdog, unless you think that underdog can win outright, do take the Washington Commanders because they can absolutely win this game outright. Tampa had trouble removing the ball against the Saints. I don't think there's any indication that they've been better than Washington this year. I think Washington's been the better of the team. They're the better team by my ratings. Yeah, a little bit of home field advantage, but this is my favorite pick of the week, would be Washington plus 3.
And then the last one, as a Viking fan, maybe this is just being negative. I think this is a really tough spot for Minnesota. Very similar to the middle of the season where they lost to Detroit, had to turn around and play the Rams. They have to do the same thing here. Man, I know it's dangerous to play amateur psychologists, but the chance to be the one seed, now you turn around, you're on the road for probably 3 games, although who knows? I thought Stafford really moved the ball against them. Nacua had a big game. If you can't get pressure on Stafford, I think he's going to cut their defense apart. So I would lean towards the Rams in this spot, getting the 1.5. What say you?
Yeah, there's two other things to think about. First is in my weighted ratings, the Vikings are actually lower than the Rams. I know that's a surprise. Like, I don't think it. I feel like the Vikings, it feels like the Vikings are a better team. But in recent weeks, because the Rams defense has played better, and because they had that one game against Buffalo, which was a bigger win than the final score indicated. The Rams come out as higher than the Vikings. The other thing is, if you are a believer in that thing where when teams play Detroit, they play worse the next week, uh-oh, like that's a problem. So, I mean, I think this is a pretty even 50-50 matchup, honestly. I probably would stay away from betting it on I would stay away from betting it.
Who do you have coming out of of each conference here?
My numbers love Baltimore so much, and I, like a lot of people, I'm kind of sick of Kansas City. Like, we don't want to see them do it every single year, but they're the one seed. The one seed is the team with the most likely chance to come out of the conference. So the most likely Super Bowl is Detroit, Kansas City, even though my numbers have Baltimore as the most likely Super Bowl champion because it likes their odds of winning the game if they get there. But Kansas City is more likely to get there.
Let's say there's a big five. Let's call it Detroit and Philly in the NFC, and let's say it's Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo in the AFC. If there's somebody outside of the big five, guess you pick one from each conference that upsets this, that either makes a title game or makes a Super Bowl, not name those five teams, who is it from each?
Oh, I mean, I've thought of it as a big seven. Because I do think of Green Bay and Minnesota as being in that group. I guess if I want to go with my own numbers, the answer is Green Bay, although it's tough because no Christian Watson takes away the deep part of their offense, right? Like that's that is a problematic injury for them. In the AFC, I guess the Chargers, if somebody's going to break that group, it's the chart, but that group is super, super duper strong. Like, I would like Washington or Tampa Bay to make it more than I would like any team in the AFC outside of the Bills, Ravens, and Chiefs.
I'm with you on the Chargers just because they do play Kansas City close. There's some familiarity there. You do wonder, like, hey, the Chiefs have played in so many close games this year, postseasons. Like, at the end
Right.
of the
If it
day, they've
is,
won seven playoff
it
games in
could
a
be
row. Like,
Chargers at Chiefs because the Chargers are 5.
right.
So if they beat Houston, if the Ravens and Bills take care of business, then it will be Chargers at Chiefs. Yes.
And that would not be an easy game for Kansas City. I mean, Kansas City would be favored, but I looked at some of these books have look headlines. That would be Kansas City by like four. So, hey, 4-point favorites lose all the time. It's not I know it's shocking to think the Chiefs could get upset in the first round, but if that's the matchup, like, I wouldn't be shocked,
but then it would be hard to see the Chargers then getting past the Ravens or Bills.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. Last few here. You mentioned you like your numbers like the Ravens, you know, more than even you expect sometimes. Why do you think that is?
They are, part of it is that I don't incorporate a lot of penalties because penalties are usually not as predictive. This year's Ravens team was somewhat limited by a ton of penalties. But last year's Ravens were not. Last year's Ravens only had an average number of penalties. So that's not something that ties together why my system overrates the Ravens, because it doesn't describe last year's Ravens. And the Ravens tend to have these very big wins over good teams. And that is the best indicator of a championship team. The best indicator of a championship team is walloping other championship teams. And last year it was Detroit and San Francisco and Miami. And this year it's Houston and Pittsburgh, which aren't championship teams, but
Buffalo.
They're playoff teams.
Killed Buffalo.
And Buffalo, what was that, 35-10? I mean, Baltimore just has this habit of like losing these close games to bad teams over weird penalties. And then they play good teams and they kill them. So I think the fact that Zay Flowers fumbled at the goal line last year and Kansas City won by 7 is not an indicator that the Ravens are a team that can't win in the playoffs. And I know people talk about Lamar Jackson and his numbers aren't as good in the playoffs. History is filled with players and teams that couldn't win in the playoffs until the year that they did. Whether that's Peyton Manning or in other sports, Barry Bonds or Jason Tatum. Right, like
A-Rod, Coach K, Shaq, LeBron.
Filled with players who couldn't get it done in the playoffs until the year they got it done in the playoffs. And then all of a sudden, they got it done in the playoffs. So who's to say that Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen is not one of those players? Although Josh Allen doesn't have the same statistical, right? Like he's played well in the playoffs. They've just lost over things like the 13 seconds.
Yeah, even Michael Jordan, I think his first title was in year 7, year 8, pretty relatively late for a career where if it was, modern day sports culture, oh, Jordan can't win the big one. Jordan's not clutch, things like that.
So, right, yeah, Barry Bonds never won one, but he did like finally have a World Series where he was really good.
Oh, incredible.
But like Peyton Manning, right? Peyton Manning, first 3 years in the playoffs, terrible, absolutely terrible. Then all of a sudden he was good in the playoffs. And then a couple of years later, they won a championship.
Yep, absolutely. All right, last couple awards. I know you like to keep it close to the vest. I just want to ask you, like, thought process and maybe, like, your finalist for some of these. How did you unpack Comeback Player of the Year? What went into the thinking? Because this is one that very controversial.
I don't want to be the Pied Piper of Comeback Player of the Year. I feel like I've become the guy that everyone goes to ask about this. They made it really clear what they want you to do. And I'm going to do what they want me to do. In my mind, it would have made things a lot easier if they had introduced a Most Improved Player Award the same year that they changed the qualifications for Comeback Player of the Year. We wouldn't be having all these debates if they had just introduced a Most Improved Player Award at the same time. It's coming. There is a Most Improved Player of the Year, I'm pretty sure, in the next couple of years. It's coming. I just wish it had come this year so we all could have just voted for Darnold and then we wouldn't have to argue about this.
What do you mind letting us know a couple final, like who were like your, who did it come down to the last few guys in your mind?
I can't say who's on my five.
I tried to word it in a way where I get a little breadcrumb, but I know you keep it close to the vest. All right.
I have not figured out Offensive Player of the Year yet. Like I filled out my whole ballot except Offensive Player of the Year. That one is hard.
That was going to be my next question. What was the hardest one of all of these for you?
That is, I mean, Coach of the Year is usually really hard. And Coach of the Year has like 12 candidates.
It does.
But Offensive Player of the Year, it's, Saquon Barkley ran for 2,000 yards. And Derrick Henry had one of the top 10 rushing seasons by my values ever, or since 1978. And Ja'Marr Chase won the Triple Crown. And George Kittle had the second best tight end season in my values since 1978. Oh, and by the way, Justin Jefferson, and also Jahmyr Gibbs, and also Bijan Robinson, and also Amon-Ra St. Brown. It's a hard, hard award this year.
Did you struggle with MVP, or was that more clear-cut than some of these?
More clear-cut.
Interesting. Okay. All right, Aaron. Appreciate it, man. Any parting thoughts on these playoffs? Anything we didn't talk about? Anything I missed here?
I mean, I know what I'm rooting for. It sounds weird as a Patriots fan. Like, we got to go every year. Why don't the Chiefs get to go every year? It's not because I don't want the Chiefs to do something the Patriots couldn't do. It's because I want new fan bases
new blood
to have fun.
Yeah.
I'm really rooting for Buffalo, Detroit. Baltimore would make my numbers look a lot better. But Buffalo, Detroit would be the most fun, followed by Buffalo, Minnesota. Like, imagine those two fan bases in New Orleans for a week, and one of those teams finally winning a Super Bowl. It would be so much fun, but we don't decide this based on fun.
No, we don't. And I think this is probably a little contrary. I'm sure it is. Like, I'm rooting for my Vikings, but from a history standpoint, you just tell me the Vikings can't win, from a history standpoint, seeing the Chiefs three-peat would be kind of cool, at least going for a three-peat, just because I'm pretty sure that hasn't happened, right? We haven't had a third in
a row. It's never happened. Yeah. It's never happened. And my feeling is opposite. I just love the idea of Detroit fans finally getting a title.
Which I do too.
Minnesota like fans finally getting a title, or Buffalo fans finally getting a title.
Would be cool.
Again, Baltimore would make me look really good, but it wouldn't be as fun as one of those fan bases finally winning a title.
You mentioned, I should have asked too, Patriots, how did you feel? I mean, we've learned it's very hard for these teams to tank in the NFL. Even if you put in the Joel Milton, these guys are going to go on the field and their instincts are going to take over and they're going to play hard and they don't care. Half the guys are going to be on the team next year, so they don't care about, you know, getting you a better draft pick. That being said, just letting Mayo coach, then firing them, winning the game, I thought it was a little bit of a mess, but I don't have some perfect solution to sit here and, you know,
it was a disappointment.
Can't forfeit the game. Yeah, go ahead.
It was a disappointment, but look, you can't go to a coach. You can't fire a coach before the last game and then tell the other guy you have to lose. Like, it's just not how the NFL works. Teams go out there and try to win. Like, even Buffalo was trying to win. I can guarantee you Mitchell Trubisky was not out there trying to lose on purpose so that it would hamstring the Patriots for the next 5 years. Right? Like, people are trying to win in the National Football League, and the Patriots just happened to win, and they dropped from first to fourth. I think it's interesting. There's still going to be a good selection of players there. I'm pretty sure two of the first three picks are going to be quarterback. So if you feel like what the Patriots really need is a receiver, they're still going to get either McMillan or Hunter at four. So it's not quite as bad as I think people thought it was.
Yeah, and it's not even a matter of they're missing out on a player they would have gotten otherwise. It's just, hey, I think the Patriot fan wanted to, we'll get the one and we'll auction it off. We'll cash it in for
there was,
you know,
a little bit of a
next
feeling
year.
Of that. Yeah, there was a little bit of feeling of trying to auction off the one pick. Yeah, it's, you know, would I have preferred they'd lost that game? Yeah, but, you know, everybody's trying to win in the NFL.
Yeah, and the Raiders had a chance to win. They, you know, they won games. The Giants had a chance to win. So all these teams won games. So we got to keep, I got to keep that in mind for next year. Hey, this idea of, hey, they're tanking, they want to lose. It's
and you never know, right? I mean, the Houston Texans won in the last week of the season and ended up with two instead of one, and they got C.J. Stroud instead of Bryce Young, which, despite Stroud struggling this year, still looks like the better pick.
Absolutely, Aaron. Appreciate it, man. Let everyone know where they can find you.
You find me at FTN Fantasy. You know, make sure to check out everything we have, the Stats Hub, the DFS Optimizer, all kinds of good stuff for the playoffs, ftnfantasy.com. Still at ESPN a good amount of the time, and A-Shots NFL on Twitter or ashots.bsky.social on Blue Sky.
Thanks a lot, Aaron. Appreciate it.
All right.
All right, enjoy Wildcard Weekend. Thank you to Aaron Schatz. If you can read between the lines and look, we know from having him on before, from other shows, he keeps everything very tight to the vest, and understandably so, but he is not going to give you much, but it sounded pretty clearly like not voting for Darnold. And I got the impression, again, I don't put words in his mouth, but I seem to think that this year he is going to vote for Lamar Jackson. Remember last year he voted for Allen. He was the one out of 50 who did not vote for Lamar. So
We'll see. Just wanted to pick his brain. You can't really bet most of this stuff anymore. Anyway, most of this stuff's off the board, but did want to just kind of read the tea leaves. But he does not leave too many breadcrumbs. But enjoy the weekend. Should be a fun one. One of the best sports weekends of the year. One of my favorite. We will be back Monday. Rate, review, subscribe. See you then.